listeners, and welcome to a very special episode of The Instance. We like to do interviews. Occasionally they happen, and when they do, we learn new things. We walk away educated, and oftentimes we have somebody here we really like. Today is one of those days. Welcome to the show, Mr. Corey Stockton, lead content designer of World of Warcraft. You've heard him on the show before, and he's back. Corey, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
It's great to have you here. It's been a crazy amount of time since we last saw you at BlizzCon. And a lot of things have happened, changed, been released, including this week with patch 6.2. And we got questions about all that stuff. First, though, I got to say this. Congratulations, 10 years at Blizzard, man.
I know, it's crazy. I can't believe it.
That seems like yesterday to me, like you just got there.
Me too. Yeah. The time just flies by.
That's insane. Well, good job and enjoy the shield, right? Is that what they give people?
It is a shield. I can't wait to get it up on the wall over my desk.
That's pretty awesome. Well, let's just jump right in. 6.2 in the wild. And let's talk about, real quick, because you had such a prominent voice in the dev team when it came to garrisons last we spoke.
Yes.
And shipyards are clearly a huge addition to what garrisons are and a big sort of an expansion to what garrisons do. We got new resources like oil. We got new gameplay loops that are involved in garrisons. I want to talk about those real quick and what you hope to achieve with this addition of shipyards.
For sure. I mean, really, you nailed it, whereas we saw it as a direct expansion of the garrison as a whole. We were trying to think of, you know, obviously the garrison's been popular since it came out. We feel like it's a huge integral part of Warlords. But it was like, what could we add to it that felt fresh and that really changed the gameplay loop? And we didn't want to just add specifically like another building, maybe some unique quests to go with that building. We obviously were going to add more followers. So we just kind of jammed on a bunch of ideas, and doing ships in some way, shape, or form in Warcraft is something we've talked about for a very long time, right? Mm-hmm. So this felt like an opportunity to kind of explore that a little bit, because we already had the mission system. The basis of that was there. And then we just kind of started with that and started jamming, coming up with ideas. And this idea of building ships, creating a navy, fighting the Iron Horde that way started to feel fresh, started to feel cool. And then the more we got into it, the more that we really tried to flesh it out to make it feel like a core part of the entire package. In order to get ships, you've got to play Tanan Jungle, get equipment. You've got to go and do rares and things like that in Tanan. We really tried to connect the whole thing into the patch in a way that makes it feel, you know, makes it feel like it's always fun to be getting oil or to get a new blueprint for a new ship or a new piece of equipment, and not something that's just kind of, you know, it's off to the side. And maybe I'll do the ship thing. That seems kind of cool. We wanted to make it feel fresh so that you would, you know, you'd want to do it because it was cool and fun, not just because it offers raid level gear at the high levels.
Well, here's a question for you. I mean, I know a lot of people enjoyed the RTSs because they also featured naval combat. And you're right. People for years have said there's got to be a way to get this stuff into WoW. Seems like you guys have found a way to do it. But does it offer, in your estimation, now seeing it finished and it's out in the wild, do you think it's offering that kind of, is it scratching that particular itch for naval combat? Or do you, I mean, we never say never, obviously, in this world, but do you foresee a day when ships play an even bigger role, a more real-time role, or a more of a transportation role outside of you just moving from one taxi spot to another? Like, is there a grander vision for that, or is this kind of all we're going to ever see with naval stuff?
I think this would be, in the grand scheme, right, I think this would be something like scratching the surface. Mm. The itch we were looking to scratch here was that you feel like the commander of this navy of ships. You're sending them out on missions. We went with a world map concept instead of the list because we really felt like that helped deliver on that fantasy that I'm doing something in this specific area of Draenor. But certainly it is not the idea of like you're controlling the combat. You know, you're customizing, you know, the sails on your ship, and you're deciding to drive it into this cove or something. We knew we weren't doing anything like that. That was out of the question for like a patch of an existing expansion. But that concept is certainly something that is very cool, that, you know, I feel like there's something there if we really wanted to chase that and put the time and effort into it and had an idea that we really felt could deliver that fantasy. It's certainly not out of the question of something that we would think about doing. Because like you said, it's certainly in the history of Warcraft. But that wasn't specifically what we were going for here at all. This was more to feel like you were, like I said, in command of this whole thing, and it feels like an extension of that Garrison gameplay.
So the state of garrisons in general, you guys probably have data that bears some of this out, but I think that a lot of players are spending a lot of time in garrisons, and in some cases, those who are maybe tired of raiding, or they've been with the expansion for 10 years, and the quote-unquote usual content isn't holding them anymore. Mm-hmm. People that park there and kind of get in, check their garrisons, do a bunch of stuff on that, run around to their buildings, do their thing, and then log out. There's some people who, for them, that is WoW now. I've talked to people who said that is the game for me now. Does that kind of thing excite you about garrisons? Does that concern you about garrisons? I'm just trying to get a temperature on what that kind of play does to your decisions moving forward when it comes to design for this kind of for these kind of features.
I would say that totally falls in the concerns us category much more. World of Warcraft is about the world first and foremost. It's by far the biggest, most important character in the entire game. And we learned lots from garrisons. We had successes. We clearly had fails in other areas. I think in some cases we went too far with how much we pushed professions into the garrison, to the fact that you can do so much of it without ever having to leave. Things like you mentioned, a player that feels like they can just log into the game, do garrisons for like 20 or 30 minutes, and then that's it. And come back and feel like they're making progress because they're getting higher item level gear through the mission system. The key elements at the base level of that, there are some things that are very cool. We certainly wanted to add an aspect to WoW where you could log in for a short period of time and feel like you're making progress. And I think that's something that the mission and the follower system does really well. Did we go too far with that? That's definitely something we talk about all the time. Is there too much of that? Are the rewards outside of the garrison not good enough to get people to actually go outside and do that stuff? Those are all things that we question, all the time, looking forward to saying, what parts of garrisons do we want to keep and move forward with the game, and what parts do we want to leave behind?
Right. In some cases, some players want to try to live inside your brains, and they've got it figured out why you guys either do something great or something bad. Yeah. I tend to want to get behind the decisions themselves. Like, people want people to take risks in video games. We don't want to play the same experiences for decade upon decade. And then when somebody does that, the risk is that, the reward is that you're doing something different and everybody's going to go, wow, they look at them, did something different and it worked. The risk is you have to try different things that may cause unforeseen problems. They're different in play than they were on test realms, and there's definitely different internal beta testing versus test realms.
I am
always infinitely fascinated with that process and how you guys decide to say, all right, look, we know enough about garrisons, as an example, that it's going to be rad, but we don't know some of these other side effects. We just haven't been able to test it that way. We can't get it to where we will know other than real world testing. Time has to pass and all this.
Uh-huh.
How frustrating is that? How hard is that? How invigorating is it? Like, I'm always fascinated by that process.
It falls into a couple categories. Obviously, at the end, it can be frustrating because you feel like, was there anything we could have done during development or during testing to foresee this problem and have fixed it before it got to our community? Mm-hmm. Right? That's one thing.
Sure.
There's also early on when we just don't really know if something's going to work. If anyone that played in beta through Warlords probably saw a dramatic amount of changes to garrisons. Heck, even before beta started, just us talking at BlizzCon to what we delivered in the beta was pretty different.
Yeah.
And any feature that is so base level like this feature, it basically touches everyone no matter what, is going to have that sort of effect, right? So I think the biggest concern on our end is not what are those first few weeks, maybe that first month, going to feel like, but what is it going to feel like 6 months down the line? That's always by far what that biggest question is. And it, like you said, it's incredibly difficult to answer because in something like beta, people don't really care about things the same way they will care about it on live because it's all fake, right? It's all going to go away. So the items and the things that they get, they don't give that same feedback. It won't matter as much. So a lot of that just has to come down to our gut. And that's really a way that we've designed WoW for a long time. We all play the game. A lot of us obviously want the best for the game. So we just have to think in your gut, is that going to work long term, or is that possibly going to end up in a bad place? And a lot of times we just have to make those calls, and then we deal with it as we go. We've got patches, but I mean, you know all about our hot fixing system. We've had hundreds of hot fixes go out just in the last 2 days since the patch has been out. So I feel like we can respond pretty quick to things. But some of those base level things, you know, you can't change. You can't change the number of plots in the garrison.
Sure.
We had to decide there were, you know, X number of plots, X number of buildings. Does that feel like enough variety? We thought it did. When we shipped, we really felt like we did have enough different buildings. The things we added were things like, what did those buildings do specifically to make them feel unique? You know, an inn can be pretty cool because you can recruit followers. An inn is way cooler when it offers a different daily quest every day to go to a different dungeon and get a unique item that you can only do if you own that building, right? And those are the kind of things that we really activated and doubled down on towards the end to make sure that all of the buildings felt unique.
I don't know, this is kind of a weird question, but are you guys surprised at how many people, at least this has been my experience, very empirical data. I don't know if this, you know, means anything, but friends and people I know who've been playing since the patch refuse to go near their garrison until a very popular mod was fixed, which was Master Plan. It hadn't been updated and nobody would even go near that thing. Are you guys surprised about that? Is this the kind of time where you go, that's enough of a change where we probably should integrate a similar system? And not to freak those guys out, they're doing great work out there, but do you know what I mean? Like, you'll have an experience like that and go, maybe this needs to be in the game as a feature there. Everyone loved our animations that first day, but down the road, they just need to get jobs done.
Yep. No, awesome question. Yeah. Something we've dealt with for a long time. I mean, really, since WoW shipped, we've had a history of looking at add-ons that we felt like players thought were required or that dramatically made the game better, and we'll take parts of those add-ons and put them in the game. You've seen us do that over the years, right?
Sure.
The unique thing about this is looking at patch 6.2 very specifically, when we were doing the naval missions, you know, we had it as a list for a long time, just like you see the follower missions. There's a list, it, you know, gives you a description, you see the reward. And one of the very first things we said when we got to that point was, you know, what's going to stop me from just downloading an add-on and just letting that on tell me what to do? Mm-hmm. You know, like, is this list doing anything for us? Mm-hmm. Maybe we could try to think of a different way to do this. And that's when the map came about. The idea of taking the missions, laying them out on a map and in different locations, and saying, okay, well, how does this feel? Does this really change it up? So that's what we did. Essentially, we took the map, we laid out all the missions, and then we played it for a little while. And honestly, we came back and we said, you know, that feels cool. It adds a little bit of obviously more flavor. It kind of fits the fantasy. But to be honest, I'm just clicking and I'm just doing everything as it shows up. Like, it's kind of like a list, but it looks prettier.
Mm-hmm.
So we went back again. And what we came to from that was we came up with the idea of bonus missions. Mm. So in the naval concept, bonus missions will occasionally appear on the map. If you finish a bonus mission, it unlocks basically a bonus area in that specific quadrant. And then any other mission that appears in that bonus area, if you do it at that point, that bonus area will be there for about a day, you'll get that bonus to that mission. And that bonus would be like more experience, maybe more oil, maybe more gold, more pexis, a better chance at success on the mission. And we found that made a big difference about which missions you do in which order. Because it's not just about efficiency at that point, because you don't know when the bonus mission's going to pop, and you don't know where it's going to pop.
Mm.
So it really makes you feel like, oh, that mission popped in the Zangar Sea. Okay, well, I need to make sure that I have other boats available to do the missions in that area, because I'm going to earn that bonus for this next day. And that was kind of a good realization for us about, like, how could we take that and do something that actually made the player feel like they were more invested, made it feel like, oh, I needed to break that blockade there, open up those missions, because now I have access to this bonus thing. So it feels fresh, it feels different. It's not just something, in theory, you could just, you know, throw Master Plan on and just say, okay, I'm just going to do whatever it tells me to do. Well, you know, our goal is always for a player to feel invested.
Sure, sure. And I'm seeing a lot in this patch where you guys are attempting to create the kind of not randomness, but bonus. There's kind of a bonus culture happening with 6.2. Yes. And one of the things, for example, is I'm noticing a lot of rare spawns and tannin, ways to gear up easily, faster. In fact, how important is it this time around for you guys to give more, for lack of a better term, catch-up mechanics for players who are trying to get into the final raid content and whatnot?
It gets more important as we get further through the patch cycle, right? So it's always important. In general, that's always important that if a player hasn't played for like a few months, their buddy comes back to the patch, they want to play with them. We always want to have some sort of method to allow catch up. Otherwise, you really make it difficult for those two people to play together. It becomes more important as you get towards the end, clearly, because that gap becomes larger, right?
Right.
The gap from when the game shipped to where this patch is. And we're also a little bit more okay with giving out that high-level gear at that point because, you know, we're nearing the end of the cycle. So it feels like, you know, we want everyone to see the raid. We want everyone to see that story play out. So I think we're a little bit more open to that. We place it on rare mobs. We've got it on reputations. We've got gear coming in from the naval missions. You know, there's so many different places that you can get catch-up gear. I feel like it's pretty clear to players that if they want to get in and do the raid, they've got accessible ways to do that.
Yeah, that's a big plus for me as a player who played a bunch of the, Heimal content and then got a little behind with Foundry. And
for sure.
Now I kind of need a way to catch up, and my raid team would really appreciate it if I did. So it's good to know that that stuff's out there. Are you guys happy generally with things like, well, one of the things people are really excited about when it was first announced were these different difficulty tiers in raiding. At the BlizzCon, where they first announced, we're gonna add these new difficulty tiers, which essentially turn normal into heroic and normal into a more entry-level thing, and LFR is more something you just want to make sure you catch and see that content, but it was less about gear. And all these changes with this expansion, there are now multiple tiers of difficulty in raiding that didn't exist even three years ago. Do you feel like, in retrospect, has that complicated things like some players may claim? Has that opened things up? Has it brought more people into raiding? Because I have to think that was the entire goal to begin with, which was get this content into more hands. Has it done what you guys wanted?
I think we've been happy with how normal, heroic, mythic has worked out. Obviously, LFR at the beginning of that. I think that our biggest kind of area of concern and place things that we want to be better would be LFR. That's the thing we hear about the most, is trying to make sure that LFR is still a fun experience and not just an experience where you go in and no one talks to each other. You know what I mean? Like, it just feels like it's just there for the loot. There's not that feeling of we got a group together to go do this. LFR serves a very specific purpose and we feel like we need it in the game. But we're always looking for ways to improve that specific experience. In regards to normal, heroic, mythic, I think we set out pretty early to decide that we wanted more people to be able to see this content. Mm. We spend so much time on the raid content, and the goal is that we want everyone to be able to have a chance to play through that at their own level. You know, no matter how good their guild is, no matter how many people they have, that's why we have the scaling technology. Being able to have a couple friends come in later and have the boss scale up to that. All the work we've done to personal loot and to have loot feel like distribution is better, so people feel like they're always getting something out of the raid, even when they've had a bad streak of luck. All of those things are designed to kind of help that whole experience feel more appealing to a wider number of players.
So you were talking earlier about the technology for hotfixing changed when the file system changed. There was a lot of sort of under the hood stuff that went down. It's been a while now, but it seems like yesterday. That's really helped with this stuff, I assume? Be able to quickly address not only issues, problems, bugs, and whatnot, but be able to say, yeah, we got to tune that dungeon right now because what we didn't realize is this guild's going to do this thing and, all hands on deck. And it seems like that's gone smoother, has it not?
Oh, 100%. Every single time a new unlock happens, we unlock things in wings. And every time those unlocks happen, our encounter team is all at their desk watching on live and watching, everything happen as it plays out. And the instant they see something, we can have a hot fix created, tested, and pushed up to servers, within an hour. Mm. Incredibly fast. We have to QA all of our hot fixes, make sure they work, things like that, go through the process. But the process we've had in place for a very long time now. And it's only gotten better over time, meaning that we can hotfix more things. We still can't change things like text dynamically, but I mean, most anything in the game that has a number related to, we can basically update. And that's just a matter of us having that pulse, right, with the community and seeing what's causing an issue. We'll clearly hear stuff internally from our CS groups or our QA groups, but really it's about, you know, what's affecting people out in the community they're actually playing, and are we hearing about it? Mm. And, you know, we're obviously not going to act on everything. We're going to act on the things that we think are an actual problem. Sometimes people will think something's a problem, but it's actually, you know, we don't really think it is. It's actually intended to be that way. And that's just part of the deal. When you have a game that's this big, not everyone's going to agree with everything that we want to do.
Yeah, certainly things lately have indicated that. And I know you guys have to be sick to death of the flying conversation, but I think it's important to bring up one point of it, which is...
For sure.
So the thing, I mean, it kind of originated, I hate to say it, on our live show at BlizzCon 2013, when Greg Street made the comment that flying wouldn't be there at launch and didn't know when it would. And yep. And everyone flipped out. And while we were happy for the extra PR it got us on the show, we didn't love the constant reference to it because it comes up time and time again. Mm-hmm. Now there's a solution to it. There seems to be again, for lack of a better term, a compromise in place. What is your head in terms of that compromise? Do you feel like it accomplishes the two-tiered approach, which is your adherence to gameplay, and the mm-hmm. community's perceived determination to fly?
I mean, if you knew the amount of internal meetings, conversations, just someone walking down the hall, the amount of times that we've talked about flying internally here, you know, I'm not sure the community knows, but obviously it's been something that's been big on our mind for a long time. Ever since we announced that flying wouldn't be there at launch for Draenor, we knew it was an issue we would need to deal with at some point in the cycle. Mm. And yeah, where we ended up, we feel very happy with. It took us a long time to get here. But what we really like about where we are is that it means that players will experience the content as we intended, on the ground, the way that we designed it. But once they've experienced all the content to a point that we feel like, you know, feels like enough that obviously we have an achievement set for this, but when they get to that, then they can fly from there on out and it's fine. And I think the part of that that appeases the players obviously is they feel like they've earned it, mm-hmm. right? And I think the achievement kind of reinforces that they feel like they've earned that flying. But flying was always just gold. You know, before we always just put a price on the gold and we would change the name, you know, cold weather flying, you know, things like that. So I actually think this is kind of a more interesting concept than we even had before, where you'd get to max level, you'd earn the gold and you'd get it. Here, it's kind of, you know, it sets out some new goals for players that want to do that. So I think it's something that we spend a lot of time on because it's a concept that we will probably see moving forward as our expansions go on. I think we feel pretty confident that this is an idea that'll probably stay pretty close. Obviously, we iterate on everything, but I think in general, we feel pretty happy with it.
Mm. Well, cutting through the hyperbole, which is hard to do, it does feel there's a vanilla flavor to it. By that, I mean the original game, well, yeah. Not so much vanilla, but BC. When BC introduced flying, it was like this hard-earned thing, and it was no small amount of gold, and it was no small amount of leveling and training and everything you had to do. You got a slower mount than a faster mount. I mean, the way mounts were treated early in the game, even in vanilla, was a huge freaking deal, and this feels more like that. So if it's actually possible for the player base, I'm not sure it is. For some it might be. For me, it is. But to cut through this and go, all right, well, what did we actually get in the end? They could have just caved and said, well, here's gold, and how much you got to pay in gold, so there's your mount. Yeah. You could have done that, or what you did instead, and I like this, is you went in and said, well, let's build it in, let's make it part of the game. So let's put some game in there so that it's not just a simple cave-in on our part, nor is it, mm-hmm. and not to say that you guys needed a cave. You could have held the line forever, I suppose, and people would be just mad and whatever. But you listened to people. You knew that there was an issue there. Instead of just saying, fine, have your flying, you guys said this. That feels right to me, but is that the kind of thing? Because people don't forget. I mean, they're still quoting Leroy Jenkins all these years later.
Yeah.
Is this going to come up again? And people are just going to, I mean, I feel like flying is going to become the great wart on the nose of late game. Wow. If somebody doesn't figure out a great solution for it. And maybe this is it. Do you feel like this is it?
It was a really tough situation, for sure. Because it's exactly like you said, I think as designers, we felt, we really feel like the game plays better without flying. There are many things about flying that we feel like makes the game not be as good, right? But you have to contrast that with, we've had flying in the game, like you said, since Burning Crusade. Players are extremely used to it. We have so many ways to earn flying mounts in the game, which without any flying at all would be basically useless. You know, they walk around in the ground. That's obviously a valid complaint. You have just the fact of players feel like they've earned it. They've been with us all this time. They have this huge collection. They want to see the world in a different way. And we understand all those arguments, but like you said, we're trying to think about the game. I think I really feel like it felt like the two of us kind of came together at a good place. And we came to this position of, like you said, let's integrate it into the game. Let's just not have you be able to get the money in the auction house and play one part of the game. Let's say you have to earn these reputations. Let's say you have to kill X number of rares. Let's say you have to explore all the zones. These are all things that we really feel like anyone that loves the game is going to be doing anyway. You know, any player that really loves the game is probably going to obtain most of those things. Sure, you can get them faster if you try to grind those things. You could do that. But most players, we picked those things because we felt like they would get them over time anyway.
Well, that was going to be my big question, is how, you know, who it actually serves. And it sounds like the goal was to serve most people naturally through progression and not...
It is.
Okay. Well, that's good to know, because there's a sense on some people's side that you guys just created a hard thing to do. And
no, we actually had those factions created, the factions that we've listed in there, the Tanan factions.
Yeah.
Those factions were created and completely just for Tanan. Mm. Like, you know, it's not like we went and said, let's go throw in some new factions so we can slow these guys down. It was like, no, Tanan's going to be a big part of the game for, you know, for the rest of the expansion. There's so much to do there. We put so much effort into this entire new zone. It feels like a great place to put another goal that fits with flying,
yeah,
right? So
yeah,
it was like, well, this is, how much should we make them get? Do they have to get exalted? Do they need to get friendly? So we tried to pick something that felt right along with everything else. It certainly wasn't like, you know, how can we grind them out? It was more like, what are things that we feel like all players could achieve over time, but the people that want it very quickly could have a method to maybe get it a little bit faster, but in general, everyone else will be able to get it without too much trouble.
That makes sense. Now, I've got a load of Twitter followers who wanted me to ask this question. They're pet collectors. You've been the pet guy forever. In fact, I think you're the one I talked to the very first time pets were even announced for Pandaria, and it was this huge deal, and everyone loves pets. 6-2 has 26 new pets, 20 mounts, 18 new toys, new heirlooms, all this kind of stuff, even intellect plate, if people can believe it. A lot of people are asking about pet level increasing, either now or in an expansion. Any thoughts on that? Right now they're locked at 25. Any plans to expand what that means, getting pets to a higher level? And whether they even need that, I don't know. Maybe this is more about collecting them and getting them to 25 than it is getting your current pets to some other ungodly number. But where's everyone's head on pets these days?
I mean, that's a question we've definitely fielded a number of times. It's interesting to hear it again now. Obviously, we've continued to add pets the whole time and keep that system going. But we really feel like the same reason we didn't do it originally with Draenor, that we wouldn't be doing it now, is we really feel like that the core of that system is about the collection and about feeling like that we're creating new content within the system that we already have. Mm. So as soon as we go and add, let's say we upped it to 30, right? We added another 5 levels. As soon as we do that, immediately you have to think, what is the reward for getting those 5 new levels on those pets, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which most likely to a player is going to be like another ability. Like, wouldn't I unlock a 4th ability? Seems like something like that. Or maybe I would unlock a new stat, or you'd unlock something.
Sure.
You have to do something. We're not just going to let them up go to 30 without making them any better. And so as soon as you do that, you have to think about what that does to the meta of that whole game, which has stayed pretty similar this whole time. All that work and effort that would have to go into rebalancing the game essentially around these new mechanics would take away from any of the time that we would have to make new pets, create new trainers, keep making achievements, keep coming up with really cool toys to interact with all of the existing pets. And that's really where we see the system growing.
Yeah. My argument has been this entire time that you guys would basically be faced with the same challenges you're faced with characters in their classes.
100%.
And having to do that every time means, well, talent system doesn't work anymore because we're at this huge level. We got to rethink that. And numbers are crazy now. We got to squish those. Like, you must look at that when you're asked that and go, well, yeah, but it's like doing WoW twice every time we release it if we're doing it for your pets and for you.
It is. And you really have to think about a lot of things. This is something we always think about as a game designer, right? We always want to, you want to flesh things out. You want to make it, you want to make it bigger, right? You want to go wider. You want to offer more rewards, more goals, more cool things to get. That's the core of what you want to do. But the key element to that is you have to think about, does that actually make it better?
Right.
Right. Like, it's real easy to keep adding all kinds of new stuff and come up with cool new ideas and new things. But in the end, does it make the game more complicated? Does it make it harder for a new player to come to the game? Does it even make that class even any better? Right. So a lot of times we have to say, what is right for this specific system? What's the right thing to do here? Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at dungeons, right, you can almost think of it in the same way. Dungeons have played very similar the whole time. Clearly, we've kind of changed a little bit of system stuff around them. But, you know, they've been five player the whole time. The concept's very similar. You fight a set of bosses, loot drops. They're in different parts of the world. And we continually add new dungeons, and we feel great about that. We always add new dungeons, change the experience, because we really like what that core experience is. You know, we're just adding more content to an existing system. Mm. I think with pets, that's something, since they're integrated so closely into the world, it makes it really fun that when we have a new zone, we can come up with pets that feel unique to that zone, build cool little nests, come up with like cool ways to be able to spawn that pet or a way to catch that pet. And I think the people that love the pet collection game, they like that. They're going to like going to Tanan and trying to find those rare pets that aren't the ones that you get off the battle pet trainers, but they're the ones that you have to find out in the world. Mm. That feels like an accomplishment. And I see us continuing to do that.
It's funny because I'm going to sound like Captain Obvious, but the MMO world and WoW in particular, it must be the most prominent example of armchair quarterbacking. In the history of everything that isn't football. And this idea that, you know, I'll use football as the metaphor. Everyone seems to know what the quarterback should have done in that Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, why didn't they? Well, clearly they're the worst and we're the best and all of that. I don't know how you guys, how you manage that. We have such a loud stage with so many people on it. The internet provides a way for everyone to give feedback, no matter who they are.
Yeah.
And that's great. You want it. And I always hear internally from people at Blizzard that, yeah, it's extremely important. What happened with the Diablo auction house is a really great example of that. Maybe the prime example. It continues to be hard, right? It must be really hard.
it totally is. Yeah. And like you said, there's so many different channels of communication, right?
Yeah.
We've had the forums forever, but these days it's so much more. Right, there's Twitter, obviously, is a huge part of that. We see people that have blogs that write stuff. There's Twitch where you watch people talk about, and you can see someone doing something and they're talking about it. We see it everywhere. Mm. I think for many of us that have been in the team as long as we've been on the team, is kind of the skill you have to develop is to be able to pull the nuggets of information out of that stuff that actually is important, or that you feel like could actually meaningfully affect the game, and talk about it.
Right.
You know, there's so much noise. It's like you said, once one thing goes bad, it can easily poison so many other things, right? To the point that what you might be hearing might not even be how it actually works.
Sure.
You know, it's just the fact that everyone says it's like this, so it's totally like this.
Well, now you have that new shield. You can protect yourself with that new shield you got for 2 years.
Oh, yeah, that's the plan, right?
Wish it worked like that.
But in the end of the whole thing, you know, the game, we wouldn't have a game without our players.
Right.
Without our community, there would be no game. Without our community, there would be no BlizzCon. Why the heck would we go up on stage and do an hour-long Q&A if we didn't feel like we were going to be able to answer those questions in a way that made sense and keep people playing the game,
sure,
right? We want those to be positive experiences. So, yeah, we have to be close to the community. We have to listen to what they're saying. And like skirt that line of making the right gameplay decisions for the game that we think will make a game that is great, not today, but is still great 10 years from now, right? Mm-hmm. We want to make those long-term good decisions, but you have to juxtapose that against, you know, wow, people are really mad about this flying thing. We should talk about it and figure out what we want to do. You know, like you said, it was a great example of something that just happened.
I'm desperate for a book one day that just talks about all this. You know, you'll all be old men. You'll all be done, retired, whatever. New people are making games at Blizzard, and you guys can look back on World of Warcraft and what it was and is and how it got there and how you would balance these things. I would find that a really fascinating read, but now for is not sure. the time. All right. I was going to say one quick thing I really like about this patch, and then wanted to ask you if there were anything in particular about it that you like the most. My favorite is the adventure journal and the front page thing and being reminded where I should be and what I should be doing.
Oh, yeah.
It's great for alts, especially because I haven't touched them in a while. It's like, oh, where the crap is my mage and what was he supposed to be doing? And now I kind of know, and I find this to be maybe my favorite quality of life improvement in the game in maybe years.
Oh, that's awesome.
Are there others like that that jump out for you that you think players are going to benefit from in 6.2?
Oh, for sure. That feature specifically is a feature we've talked about. Man, we talked about getting that feature into Pandaria. We probably had talked about that feature even during Cataclysm about how would we do that? Wouldn't it be cool if there was a way to kind of, I think back then we literally were calling it like the WoW, it was like a newspaper. It was like you would open it up and it would be like, you know, today, you know, this is happening throughout the world. And obviously it's evolved to where we have it today. But like you said, it's really great to be able to come in and be told about something that might be important to you, but it might not have been something you were going to do that day, right? Like being told about, oh, the Darkmoon Fair's in town, or, you know, you have a specific profession and you're told that, oh, it turns out there's like a new quest for that profession in this zone. Maybe you should go check it out. Mm-hmm. It's the kind of thing that we've wanted in the game for a long time. So it's really exciting to hear that you think that's cool. Because it was definitely a lot of work on our side to try to come up with the algorithms. Because we look at your character, we look at your achievements, we look at your item level, we look at the zone you're in, we look at your level, we look at all this stuff, and we try to come up with, okay, based on all of that, what are three really cool things Scott could do today?
Yeah. And it's funny, my old way was crappy, because I'd look at it and go, oh, there's a giant list of yellow quests. I don't know which one to do first.
Exactly.
I'll go back to my main or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. And you don't want to just pick things that might be okay for you to do. Like, we want to pick things that you think would be awesome, right? Because as soon as you have a failed experience with that, with the adventure guide, you're probably not going to rely on it very much anymore, right? Mm-hmm. So it was very important that it didn't make wrong decisions and send you to the wrong places.
Mm. It's like a search engine. I want the right, you know, if it starts to behave in a way that isn't giving me what I'm looking for, then I could see that being a problem. And that's, I would assume that's maybe what took it so long to iterate to a thing you could use finally.
For sure.
And it's performing well? You guys are happy with the results?
Yeah, actually, it's something we've gotten a good amount of positive feedback on, which in such a giant patch with so many new things, you know, it actually feels great to get some feedback on something that might not have been at the forefront, but it's something that a lot of players will think long-term, it'll be an exciting, great feature for the game, right?
Yeah.
It's going to work from here on out. Every time we add more stuff to it, it'll work for everyone. You know, it clearly doesn't have everything it could possibly have right now, but we will continue to add to it every patch, try to get every world event in there, every little unique thing. Over time, you know, we want to flesh it out to where it has everything.
Right. It sounds like it'll be a real pivot point for almost everything you do in the game.
Oh, for sure.
If players embrace it, obviously, and if you guys continue to make it, you know, work, then I think there's a big future. Finally, this is presumptuous of me, but I see at least one more, maybe two patches before this expansion's out. 6.3, maybe a 6.4 or a 6.3 or 6.3.5 or something. Who knows? Can you give us any kind of hints/previews about any of that? Or am I barking up that usual tree when I ask that question?
That's a pretty tough tree to climb.
Yeah.
I can tell you that there will be another 6.2x patch, which will, as we've said, will introduce flying into the game for people who have earned the Pathfinder achievement and anyone who earns it after that. But outside of that, I don't really have a whole lot that I can tell you about. But you can know that the entire team is working very hard on lots of awesome, cool stuff. But in addition, we're also trying to focus and make sure that we continue to have content that comes to Warlords and that keeps our player base excited and that keeps them invested in the game until we are ready to talk about what we would be doing next.
Yeah, and I assume, you know, there's probably pressure to, whether this is perceived or not, there are a lot of players who feel like Warlords came out of the gate as strong as WoW has ever come out of the gate. And then in the middle, yes, in the middle days, kind of suffered from either lack of content or updates or whatever.
Yep.
There's got to be a feeling there of, well, we can't have that. We can't even have that feeling out there. Even if it's not true, everyone worked their butts off. Everyone did all they could. Maybe the structure of this one didn't lend itself well to a middle act. I don't know. But there has to be a feeling on the ground of like, or well, clearly that's, there's something to what everyone's saying. At the very least, that perception is there. And we have to do things to tweak that. You guys feel that way?
I think we've felt that way about every expansion that we've released, that we feel like, you know, we're very lucky in that almost all of our expansions have had a great upfront of people that come back to the game, right? Mm-hmm. And that are super excited and come in. And then, you know, it's not uncommon to feel that towards the middle to the end of the cycle, that people feel like they've exhausted everything there is to do and they're kind of waiting for the next thing.
Right.
And that's something that obviously we are always talking about internally. And what are ways that we can keep people invested and feeling excited about the game, you know, for a longer period of time than just the beginning of the cycle? I think we felt like garrisons were something that obviously was brand new, and we expected it to carry on for a certain point through the game. And we're trying to continue to reinvest that through shipyards. But I think, as you mentioned earlier, we've also got some downsides to that, like you said, with some people just feeling they can sit in their garrison and not go anywhere.
Yeah.
So clearly that's something to talk about what were the good parts of that system that gave us what we wanted, and what is the part that made us end up with this bad stuff, and how can we take that and move on to what we're doing next and really try to fix those problems and come up with the best place that we can be. That's the best thing about working here at Blizzard and working on this stuff. And it's not just my team. It's every team here at Blizzard that no matter how successful something is or how well it does, you know, the first thing we're always doing is how could that have been better?
Right.
What could we do next time to remedy that? What can we do to help players through that experience? And that doesn't mean you don't celebrate the successes. We obviously do. But I think it's a constant drive, you know, just to make things better, especially in a game like WoW, where we've got, you know, paying subscribers and people that have just been invested in this game for 10 plus years. So I think you just really have to come at it like, you know, not everything's going to be perfect in every expansion. We're going to make mistakes. What we want our community to know and what we want them to feel is that, you know, that we are making the right decisions to help remedy things. And we're also making the right decisions to keep the game, you know, eventful moving forward. You know, and a lot of times they just have to have faith in us and hope that we know what we're doing.
Sure. We got one person in the chat room who keeps asking a question, and I'm going to try to sneak it in, and you can tell me if this is the wrong team or not, because my assumption is I'd have to talk to somebody over on the PvP side, Holinka or somebody like that. But people always want to know, why are PvP and PvE contents, or why are those bodies of content balanced together rather than separately? In other words, couldn't PvP, when you entered PvP... I don't PvP much, as you can tell, but
yeah,
if you go and do that, why isn't that stuff balanced separately and not so it isn't so affected by what's happening in the PvE world versus the way it's run now? Is that something you can speak to?
It's something that's been an issue since day one of World of Warcraft, right? But it's also something that us as a team have decided to take on the whole time and not separate those two. Essentially, the core reason there being that we've always wanted to entice PvP players to try PvE and entice PvE players to try PvP, because there's a whole nother side to the game.
Right.
You know, at the base level, the idea is that the ultimate goal would be to be able to mix those two in a way that works and feels great. As is clearly evident, it is probably one of the hardest problems to solve in the history of game design, doing something like that, so that one side doesn't feel overpowered, one side feels like they're not getting enough of the development cycle. You know, one side, you know, we hear that constantly. Mm-hmm. It's something we're talking about in depth, about the future of how we should handle that. If you look at PvP, we've had a long storied history, right, of starting with Battlegrounds, getting into things like Wintergrasp, Tol'Brad, you know, obviously, currently we have Ashran, and every single one completely different, right? Different concepts of how they would work, different concepts of reward systems. You know, we really tried a lot of different things. And, you know, I feel like we're going to continue to iterate on that stuff and try new things. We're not just going to, if something's not working after a certain period of time, I think we want to continue to try to find a way to make it work and make it feel right to players. But that core thing is something that's extremely difficult, right? Trying to make sure that a player who is at the highest end of the PvE game can't take that weapon and then go do things in the PvP game where he didn't earn it.
Sure.
And vice versa. But as it stands today, we are still trying to balance those two things together. Is that something we will do forever into the future? I can't say. You know, it really depends on if we were to come up with a great idea of a way to separate those and we thought it was better for our player base, certainly we would execute on that. Right. Certainly something that, you know, has come up before and that we've talked about, but I don't have any specific details on that today.
Fair enough. I think if you came to this episode, folks listening, hoping for some in-depth 6-2 conversation, you got that. If you're looking for some deeper look into what it's like to be a dev at Blizzard and how they balance these things, I think you also got that. The only thing you didn't get today was whether or not Heroes of the Storm would ever have a Mumper character. And that's because that would be weird if Blizzard started putting their own devs in their games, but I wouldn't mind it.
I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, either. I would totally play. What would your, let's just ask you, what would your ultimate ability be at level 10? What would you do?
Oh man, that's an awesome question.
It might be something with beer. It could be a Nintendo thing. Like, I don't know.
Oh, I know, right? That'd be kind of, I could have, you could just have like 100 pets run out of you, like, and attack everything on the map.
That's not
bad. There's so many great options of things that we could do.
Yeah. Write that down, guys, on that other team. Let's get that made. Him and Deckard Cain. That's
they have no shortage of ideas over there, yeah. Let me tell you.
They seem to be having a real blast at the moment.
Oh, they are loving life. They are definitely having a blast.
Well, good.
Got the entire Blizzard universe to work with over there.
that must be something else. Well, Corey, it's always a pleasure to hang out and talk. Good luck with 6-2 as the rollout has happened and as you guys tweak things. Very much looking forward to what's coming next. And as always, thanks for hanging out with me and taking the time.
Oh, thank you. It was a blast. It's always fun to talk with you, Scott. Okay.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.